Last time I talked about the notion that with respect to GUI interfaces or WIMP style interfaces, people invented it and only later figured out what exactly was making these things work, and that the underlying theme was direct manipulation. There's basically something similar going on with respect to this notion of natural user interfaces. And my own perspective on this is that there's very little definitive on what's going on here, but for the most part it refers to whole body interaction techniques, hand gesture stuff, multi-touch stuff. And it's natural user interfaces, or at least the notion, is trying to capture this idea that, hey, this stuff feels pretty good, so must be something good going on. And that's what natural user interfaces as a term is trying to describe. So in the research space, there's a lot of work trying to tease apart what has been brought on by the media in relation to specific devices like your iPads, your gesture interfaces, and that sort of stuff. And in terms of what is really being understood, it's mostly theory right now. So we're trying to figure this thing out. And my goal today is really to give you a different way of thinking about interfaces. And that's kind of what the natural user interface kind of paradigm is about. And so, again, if you hit the next slide, basically what happened, and this slide looks exactly like one of the slides I showed last time, except for I've changed out physical and direct touch. With direct manipulation, essentially. Essentially is that people invented the Kinect and multi-touch devices or physical game interfaces, and people like them. And so what they're trying to do is trying to figure out what this is all about. And natural user interface is sort of the closest we've got so far. So if you hit the next slide, just some basic learning objectives. I want to tell you what natural user interfaces means. The one framework that I really like, hint, hint, that I really like is something called reality-based interface design. This is something that was characterized probably about 5 years ago, so within the decade still, but I think it actually really does a great job of capturing some of the themes that this natural user interfaces stuff is trying to say. So in doing so, I'm going to describe it, and I want you to be able to identify and define four of the key themes in reality-based interfaces, and then understand how reality-based interfaces kind of have some trade-offs. So just as direct manipulation has some trade-offs, right, in comparison to command line interfaces, reality-based interfaces have some weaknesses as well. Okay, so next slide. What does natural mean in natural user interface? So in their book Brave New World, Wixon and Wigder articulate a very distinct notion about what natural means within the context of natural user interfaces. They basically say that one way of thinking about natural is that it's an adjective. It's existing in or formed by nature as opposed to artificial. So this is one way to think about the natural and natural user interfaces, but what they argue is that what they really want to say is that natural is a noun. It's a thing that is likely or certain to be suitable or successful in an endeavor without much training or difficulty. So that's what they mean by natural. That is that it is the thing that you would do. It is the thing that you feel trained for without even being trained. In class, I'll show some example of a scythe because this is one of the great user interfaces of the world. A scythe is the thing that you would use basically to cut like stalks of grass or weeds or something like this, or and it's a ridiculously large device, but there's only one way you can hold it. The cool thing is when you hold it, there's only one thing that you can do. And in that sense, you feel like a natural user of this interface. So this is in contrast to a natural user interface, right? So the example here is this giraffe that's kind of sitting on top of a tree. And so one of the things that Einstein famously said is that everybody's a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. And NUIs have a set of strengths based on what they make easier. So how they make these things easier, how they shape users' interactions with the technologies, which niches they sort of fit into. And so what they're trying to do with natural user interfaces, or what they're saying they're doing, is that they're mirroring our capabilities. They're mirroring the things that we do well. They meet our needs because this is the thing that we can do, and it just works, basically. So a natural user interface takes advantage of our capabilities, and it hopefully fits our task and context context demands. So if you hit the next slide, input and output modalities. So typically the way they've talked about NUIs is they talked about multi-touch interfaces and they've talked about full body interfaces. This, to me, is a way of providing us with NUIs because, of course, it's very easy for us to manipulate our fingers. It's very easy for us to manipulate our hands. But I don't think that it guarantees it. And so what I'm really trying to say is NUIs are not a specifically input or output technology. Okay, it really shouldn't be thought of that way. Instead, if you hit the next slide, I think the way to think about it is that it is perhaps a function of input and output capabilities of the system, but it's also a function of human capabilities. And really what I think it comes down to is a feeling of efficacy, feeling that I can make stuff happen. Again, feelings of power and control. So there's, if you hit the next slide, there's a link to BumpTop. I'll probably show this video in class just so you can see what this thing looks like. And this is kind of one of these early examples of a natural user interface. BumpTop basically is this way of organizing your desktop and a way of interacting with icons that is sort of one step above that natural that direct manipulation and is a step towards this natural user interface. At least that's the argument. Okay, so to me, this natural user interface stuff is still kind of sitting on some shaky ground. What I really like to think about is reality-based interfaces. So this was an articulation by Robert Jacob and his research group at Tufts. And and I think they've done a way better job of articulating what they mean in relation to interfaces. And I think that the natural user interface guys would basically say that the reality-based interfaces is an earlier iteration of this natural user interface design philosophy. So anyway, in spite of the name, they're not advocating necessarily recreating reality. Instead, what they're advocating is leveraging our understanding of reality for design. So there are four themes going on here. Naive physics, body awareness and skills, environmental awareness and skills, and social awareness and skills. And so what they're basically saying is aspects of our understanding or capacities, things that we do well, can be that we've developed for digital and in the physical world, for the physical and non-digital world, we can leverage these skills and abilities in designing new technologies. So the first example is basically naive physics. So if you hit the next slide, we're on slide 14 now. And so if you leverage people's common sense knowledge about the physical world, things like friction or things like gravity or velocity or momentum or mass, these are things that we can leverage in terms of design. So if you look at BumpTop, this is an example where there's friction going on. There's gravity. There's velocity. All of these things are playing a role in that design. And the idea is that because we intuitively or because we've basically grown up in the physical world, we can understand how that's going to work in this digital world. Right? So if you leverage this, this is a cool thing. Just a quick tiny example about dropping ball from a moving car. I think this is really fun to think about whether you can actually figure this little puzzle out. Next slide. Body awareness and skills. People have an awareness of their own physical bodies and possess skills for controlling and coordinating their bodies. So notions like proprioception or knowing, like, say, if you close your eyes and hold your arm out, you know that your arm is literally in front of you. If somebody moved your arm around on your behalf, you'd actually be able to figure out where your arm was without even seeing it, right? Range of motion. You know how far your arms can move. You can coordinate your body to walk or crawl or kick or throw a ball. Your body, you know how to control this thing. And so if you think about the Kinect style interfaces, right, the games that make use of the Kinect, these are things that are making use of our body awareness and those skills, and they're leveraging them in design. Next slide, environmental awareness and skills. So people have a sense of their surroundings and possess skills for negotiating, manipulating, navigating their environment. That is, we're good at manipulating things in the environment as well. So not only our bodies, but also objects outside of our bodies. And then we also have a sense of how those things are related to one another. That is, what their orientation is or their location with respect to one another, right? We understand horizontal and depth cues like shadow. We can manipulate things in the environment, positioning, altering, rearranging objects. So all of these things, again, we understand these things in relation not only to ourselves, but other things as well. And finally, can we leverage social skills and our awareness of others? through verbal and nonverbal communication. And of course we can. And so the question is, can we leverage this basic idea in tool design, right? Or computer interface design? So one of the examples that I like to show at this point is the Urban Resource Planner. You'll see a link to this on slide 24, where you can actually click through and watch the video for Urban Resource Planner. I would encourage you to do this because it's a great example of something that is making use of naive physics and our knowledge and understanding of the environment and physical space, right? So if you want a different viewpoint on the space, then you actually physically move your body. There's no need to share a physical screen. It's a physical workspace. Nevertheless, this type of design approach has certain trade-offs, right? So some of the trade-offs to think about are things like expressive power, efficiency, and versatility, right? Are people able to perform a variety of tasks in the application domain, right? So is it expressive, right? This is kind of like that that semantic distance thing. Am I able to express a lot of things? Efficiency, can users perform a task quickly? Versatility, can users perform many tasks in different application domains? So does it have versatility across a lot of different spaces? Ergonomics, can users perform a task without physical injury or fatigue? Accessibility, users with a variety of abilities can perform a task. Practicality, is it practical to develop and actually produce this thing? So if you think about the bump top, so if you hit the next slide, if you think about the bump top example, this is cool, but it's obviously limited by real estate, right? So there's some there's a lot of expressive power here, but there's some limitations in reality. Also, it's limited in terms of the capacity for trees of folders, right? The tangible video recorder, which is a video that you can actually click through on and take a look at. You can see that this is very effective for a novice, but it's very inefficient for somebody who is an expert user. Right, so this is one of those trade-offs that you get in using this type of approach. Another trade-off, the tangible video editor, it really only allows you to complete one kind of task, right? Cutting and pasting, that's it. So some case studies, you've already taken a look at Urban Resource Planner. I would encourage you once again to take a peek at it if you haven't. And the Apple iPhone, right? So Apple iPhone, they have also taken kind of this reality-based interaction metaphor and used it, right? So if you think about flicking photos around, this uses a spatial metaphor. The notion of kind of zooming on a rubber surface, when you're looking at, say, Google Maps, this is making use of naive physics, right? So you can think of it as a rubber sheet, and you can expand the rubber sheet or shrink it down, right? Springiness or inertia. So if you're thinking about lists on an iPhone and you can kind of flick things around, right? There's springiness when you reach the end, or there's inertia because the thing is going da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? For context, ends of lists, so on and so forth. This is making use of naive physics again. Right, so these are some great examples, I think, of reality-based interfaces. And again, there are some themes there, and there are some trade-offs by taking this approach. But again, if you think about why the iPhone is so successful, maybe it is because it is taking this reality-based interaction kind of metaphor to the extreme. Okay, so I've included a whole bunch of different videos at the very end here with links to allow you to take a peek at them. I would encourage you to look through these videos as I think they kind of illustrate certain concepts and certain themes that we can, as designers, aspire to design for. They're not your typical graphical user interfaces often, and instead what they do is illustrate brand new ideas that we have not been able to see. And I would encourage you to be inspired by these ideas as you move forward in your design life. Thanks very much.